Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are great. How are you?
Good, Daryl. How are you? How are you feeling? Are you better?
I'm 100%.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm ready.
So he says.
Right. I feel good.
He believes it. That's what matters.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. That's how I feel.
Comparatively.
Yeah, I got a workout in this morning.
Oh,
really?
Good for you.
Yeah, I feel much better. I need to work out. That's therapy for me.
Great.
I don't work out. I just don't feel right. Yeah, I just don't feel right. Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Well, how are you doing? So bossy.
You got it.
You're so bossy.
Fine. I'm fine.
One word answers usually don't cover enough ground. I'm fine. could you explain what that means to you, Rod? I can better understand.
That's good.
And he's feeling good. He's on a roll, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, man, that means I'm back. I'm back. Hallelujah, I'm back. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, we're waiting on Jerry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, we can start off by letting you know where we are, if you want to start there. Do you want to start? Okay.
I'd like to start.
All right. Chantel and Keisha will kick in because, as you know, I was out last week and I caught up on some of the things. But I think they've done a great job contacting the clients who are going to remain with us. I don't know if we're at 80. Are we at 80%? What would you say?
It's probably close to it.
I think it's 70 to 80. Between 70 and 80% of those who we're keeping. Those clients who we're reassigning, we have not done a great job on at all. I think we're probably at 0%.
Correct.
Actually,
no,
we're probably at like 5% because there's some people that either they left naturally, or we've been able to, we didn't tell them about the Renova or that situation, but they just have been able to be reassigned.
They've been reassigned,
yeah.
Okay.
And then we have some that we are going to reassign that keep calling for money.
So everybody has not, I mean, so we're low on the total phone.
Yeah.
If we've got 5%, then I think that might be a high number. I think that's
mm-hmm.
a high number.
Yeah,
that's good. Mm-hmm. So we have work to do there. Now we'll talk about some of the calls that we've, some of the experience we've had with the calls. And maybe I'll hang out here for a little while. I had a call today where I was talked about the use of first class analogy, only so many seats in the plane, and this is not the first time, and Keisha and Chantel kind of felt the way that this lady I'm about to explain. She said, so what are you telling me? Are you telling me that you don't want our account anymore? You're getting rid of us? And this was one of the people who we were keeping. And so, you know, I explained to her that we, you know, one of the things that we're doing, I said no because, you know, we're keeping them, but I let her know that what we wanted to do is know everything about all of our clients, that Jerry is going to be doing financial planning for everybody because there are some things that we don't know about them that we need to know in order to do the best job that we can in order to give the first class service. And she asked the question, so you sure you're not giving us away? Because if you're going to get rid of us, she said, and I'm quoting, if you're going to get rid of us, I'm going to tell everybody about how Morgan Stanley treats people. Have you had that happen before?
All right, so here's the answer, all right? First of all, you've got to explain that there is an issue. And it's the same issue that the general practitioner has. And I would explain, you know, you could even tell them that story. Do you know how many patients a typical general practitioner has? You guys, you all know?
No.
An internist?
They have how many?
Between 2 and 10,000 patients.
Wow. That's a good one. Y'all writing that down, right?
All right.
Never support the call. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what has evolved from that? All right. Because of that problem, I mean, it isn't a problem if they could see everybody on time. Mm-hmm. But guess what? People have emergencies, right? They have colds. They have got an infection. They fall. And so when you go in for your physical, instead of it taking an hour for the physical, it'll take all morning because the doctor's constantly being interrupted to have to go take care of somebody else. So what is the natural outcome for that? People are mad because they have to wait in the waiting room for an hour and a half or whatever. And so they decide that you know, so doctors say, you know what, my life is hell because I'm completely exhausted at the end of every day. My patients are getting terrible service, and therefore I'm going to create a concierge practice where I only have 200 patients, and they're going to pay me 5 or 10 or 7 or some amount, $1,000 for that, and they'll never have to wait again in their life. And patients are like, thank God somebody has done this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what you tell them is the average financial advisor has a 500 clients.
Okay. Right.
And that we do not have that many, but we have too many. And we're in the position right now where we are not giving the client experience that I came into the business to deliver, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm stressed out. So I needed to make some changes, so I hired a consultant who wrote this book called The Supernova Advisor. And basically, we've done the same thing. We've set up a concierge practice to serve a limited number of advisors, a limited number of clients who would value the extra attention and service.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you could even say in between, how does that sound to you? And they'll say, oh, my God, does that mean I'm fired? And they say, no.
Right.
Okay? Because, in fact, well, then the other question they always ask is, how much more is this going to cost? And you tell them the truth is that you've been paying enough already to get this kind of service, all right? But we had too many clients. So you're going to get better service for your money. Mm-hmm. And people always want better service for their money.
Mm-hmm.
So this becomes a win. And you tell them, look, every client deserves to be somebody's A client. Every client deserves Mercedes service. All right? They may not be able to afford a Mercedes, but they deserve Mercedes service. And in our world, we're going to give them first-class service. Everybody.
Okay.
And if we can't do it, we're going to find someone else that can.
I have a question related to what actually the last point you made. So when we go through this process again, we're telling this to people that we're keeping, And then the next year, we have to reassign them.
Right.
So how is that? Would that be a negative for them? Because we said, hey, we're reducing the size of our, you know, so many words, reducing the size of our practice, but, you know, this is how we want it, how we're going to better serve you. And then the next time goes around, we're reducing the size of our practice, now you have to go. Like, how does, I mean, I know you wouldn't say it that way, but how do you combat that? Because what we've been finding is that.
Right. Okay, now what do they truly care about?
Their money.
They care about the money, their service, and that they get and that they get what they want at a fair price, right?
Right.
So the question, I mean, if you guys were never born, would these people still be taken care of? Yeah, is the answer.
Yeah. I think it's not even, I feel, this is Keisha speaking, I feel that it's also the relationship, because they have a relationship with Gerald. We are like, we treat our clients like family, and then we say, okay, we're going to resign you. We're keeping you this year, but, you know, we had to evaluate, you know, relook on what we're doing. We got to cut down. We wouldn't say that, but, you know, what Chantel just said, they would feel some kind of way because the call that Gerald had today, that would not go over well if we had to re-sign them. Because
re-sign them, yeah. Sure,
that would not
go well. Here's the key. Here's the key, all right? Part of Supernova is developing opportunities for people to have the same experience with another financial advisor.
Okay.
All right? So you need to train another team to give Supernova service so that there is no fall off in the client experience.
Mm-hmm.
One other question. So let's say in the case we have that other team or advisor that is trained like we are, would we, at the point when we reassign that client, would it almost be like that person's an extension of our team? Because there's some people who don't care, and there's some people who are really going to care because they've been with the Salmon Group for 20, 30 years, and just like Keisha said, they're like, Gerald's like family, and while they may get great service, et cetera, they may miss, you know, talking to Gerald about things that have nothing to do with money, mm-hmm. and maybe they don't have that same bond with the other advisors, so, because I think, you know, I know we're a little unique in the fact that Gerald being a minister and adding that extra touch when we do speak to clients, you know, we just were trying to figure out, like, what's the best way at that mm-hmm. point, at that stage to make sure that they don't feel like, oh, they lost a friend, too, mm-hmm. or they lost, mm-hmm. you know, somebody they can count on a
personal. All right, so you can do it two ways. You can have them in-house or – don't take this wrong, outhouse.
Wow.
But, Ron, are you suggesting that we reassign the group that clients are going to be reassigned to?
You can build another member of the, you can bring in another member of the team to handle the clients that don't fit your minimum anymore. But the problem with that is the economics often do not work.
Right.
So it's a social issue. If you know, we call it the organ lady at the church. You know, if it's that important, you keep them. All right. But if, you know, it may mean that you spend $100,000 to keep them. And the question is, do you have enough of them that it's worth an extra $100,000 to support them, because you need to have an assistant and you need to have an FA? Or you can give them away to some other team and there's zero cost to you. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's an economic decision that you make. The other way to explain it to people is this. Just think about it, right? My concierge doctor charges anybody that's over 75, he charges them $77,000. You're under 75, he charges you $5,000, interestingly, right? Because it takes more work for old people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I turn 75 and I don't want to pay $77,000, what am I going to do?
We can leave the old people.
Right. What am I going to do? Am I going to go to him and say, I only want to pay five?
No.
And he'll say, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. Or I can pay the $7,500 or I can leave, right? So that's his pricing system. Let's say that I'm a regular person and I only want to pay $4,000 a year, but he charges five. Do you think he'll take me?
It depends on how many seats he has on the plane. Now, what have you been riding since you were 50, 40, and you keep riding, and then you get to 75, and the doctor says, you know what, there are only so many seats on the plane. I got to let you go.
Well, he did. In fact, you know, he has got – I am with him, but I referred somebody to him. And he didn't have room on his plane, so he gave him to the second doctor. And that was the only thing that was available to him was one of his associates. So what's the difference?
I'm going to complain because I was drugged off the plane.
Visualize that one, Pop. That's real.
That's part of what we're really up against the wall with. Not that we don't.
I have no problem if you have a 35-man team. Okay.
I hear what you're saying.
Does that make economical sense?
So what you're saying, we have to make a decision. Either we're going to add people, or we're going to subtract people.
Right.
We have to look
at
that.
You can't grow unless you create time. And the only way you create time is by having fewer clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're just trying to figure out what do... Man, Pop just drugged the man off the plane. But and that's real. That's real. We have to figure out how do we deal with situations like that, and how do we avoid the feeling that we're being drugged off the plane. You can be asked to leave the plane politely for a reason,
right,
and there's a way to do it, or you can be drugged off the plane.
By the way,
uh-huh.
if you're willing to pay to stay on the plane, then you stay on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And what you're saying is that you can't stay on the plane by buying coach, if it's a first class plane, you can't stay on the plane if you got a coach ticket.
Exactly. And I've said to clients, look, here's, you know, this is one of the things that I tell FAs to say. I say, I'd love to keep you, but I don't think it's fair. Our minimum charge is $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
You're now paying $2,500. Do you really want to pay $10,000?
It's a question of how do you overcome the projection of the objection up front.
Yeah.
Which means that you've got to be fully pre-qualified in your thinking.
There you go.
Before you make the statement to them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You've got to be excited about the increased service experience you're going to give. But, you know, it's going to be wonderful. The problem is, physically, we can't do it for more than 100 clients. We can't do it. We'd love to, but we can't. That's the maximum that we can do it for. in return, we're going, you know, if in fact we, you know, our business grows and we get larger clients, we're going to assign you to a highly qualified professional person that's going to treat you like family. And if you're not satisfied ever in the service that you get, I will find someone more suitable for you.
Okay, now here, and I'm good with that. We're fine with that. I think the next question, we're still at 180, 185 or so. Jerry starts her program next week. But she won't be licensed for a few months, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. 6 or 3 months. So how do we look at that? I mean, right now we have two advisors. Do we include, as we think past this, do we include her as the third advisor now, or do we wait? Because she's going to be doing, what are you saying, Chantel? Are you shaking your head?
I don't think we can include her right now because
she can't do anything. She's
going to
be doing planning.
Here's what I'm thinking, though. You know, do we need to go under 180 now? Because after a while, it'll be 60. If we include her, then it'll be 60 per.
She's not going to be meeting. She's only going to be meeting with them. She can make the calls, but she won't be meeting with them to do reviews. She'll just be doing the life fees, no?
Right, yeah, straight up life fees.
So I don't know. I don't know if you can treat her. Sorry, we're kind of figuring this out.
You still have to factor in scheduling and administrative.
I'm just throwing it out.
I mean, under 180 is good.
Here's the other thing. Rob, I think we're answering the question. But here's the other thing. The other thing is that once we have scaled back and we can build from there, then the newer clients are going to be larger.
More qualified. I feel like if we can get it below the 180 from our list now, and so that any new person come in, even if we went back to 180s, including Jerry, it would at least be 180 of $2 million.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it
would be. Okay. We've answered the question, Rob. Okay, I think we beat that horse.
All right, good. I mean, you got to buy in. There's a 5-step process for owning anything. Mm-hmm. Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. All right, so your brain and your client's brain goes through this process: curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm.
Okay.
Before you can get to be enthusiastic about Supernova, you must totally believe in it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so curiosity, you're curious. Interest, you're interested enough to learn more about it. Knowledge, you're learning about it now. You're beginning to believe in it. But don't expect complete enthusiasm to take over until you get feedback from clients and see that it works.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
Where are we now? Where are we?
We're kind of in the, are we knowledge slash coach? I don't know. As far as the 5 steps?
Yeah, where are we in the 5 steps? Because I'm enthused. I'm enthusiastic. I really have bought into it.
I'm excited, But we haven't.
Yeah, you got to remember that everybody on the team is going to be in a slightly different place.
Very true.
So that's a very good thing to take the temperature of everybody and ask them that question. Where are you in this process? Because if everybody isn't in the same place, then you're going to get different reactions to different things that you are taught or happen or whatever. You know, they're just going to have a different reaction. And so when you're out there, Mr. Enthusiasm, and somebody else is, you know, when something happens, they go, see, I told you so. See, it wasn't as good as you said it was going to be, because they hadn't gotten to that place. They didn't buy into it.
I got that today. I told you. Not that today. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So instead of it being a one-off, in your mind, it's a, verification. I was, that what I was worried about, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, that's the rare, that's the rare case. In fact, your relationship with your clients will be better because you kept them on the plane. And they're like, yay, thank you so much. I won't take you for granted. I promise I'll be on time for my calls and be a good client. And bring you all my money. And they'll bring you more money.
Tina, that's brutal.
I'm sorry.
Tina said I'll push you off the plane without the parachute. That's brutal.
Rob is not laughing.
Yeah. Okay. No parachute. Okay. All right. Okay. I think we're good there. That's real good insight. So that's where we are in terms of our contacts. We have a few more people to contact, the next 20%, but we haven't done the tough work, and the tough work is letting people, I call it the tough work, letting people know that they aren't on the plane.
Well, just be sure that there's another plane for them. They're going to get to the same destination. It's going to be exactly the same kind of plane that they've been riding in at this point. Your plane is just going to be is going to get better. See, that's the point. They're not going to they're not going to experience a worse experience. In some cases, they're going to get a better experience because they're going to have somebody calling them more often than you are able to even call them. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the part we've got to get through our own heads, is that we're not the beginning and the end, the alpha and the omega for every, every client. We are for the top 50, and the top, maybe even the top 100, but the rest of them, we haven't been as good as we thought we should be, We'll take their calls and we'll give them great service, but how often have we really been calling them? That's the part where you gotta really say to yourself, my brand is not determined by my best client, but by my worst client.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they saying about me today? Or do they even know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part when, I ask somebody, who's your FA? And they go, I can't remember. Well, that clearly is a strong relationship,
I've heard that. Well, yeah.
Yeah, there's too much of that going around, and we're just not going to have any of it. So we're going to give a great client experience. From here on out, every single client gets a great experience. And we're going to be able to define what that experience is rather than saying, we do a good job, people love us, but we can't tell you what we do.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Once you define it, then you've got to live up to it, and that creates the brand.
Right.
And, no firm is willing to do that yet. Someday they will, and when they do, they will own the market. But no firm has been willing to step out and say, this is what we give for service. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting.
Okay.
You are willing to do it, in your market, you're willing to do that. Therefore, your brand will be very different from any brand in your market.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's the part you got to hang on to as you deal with some of these issues. And the faster you make the cuts, the happier you're going to be. Okay?
Yeah. I agree with that.
And I always tell people, if you want to keep those other accounts and give them 12-4-2, then God bless you. Come in on nights and weekends and call them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? And I haven't found many team members or assistants or anybody that wants to work on Saturday to call clients that don't pay us.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Okay. All right. Well, we've told you where we are. The folders have been done, and they look good. So I think, I don't know how much time we have, but I know you're on the limited time schedule, and we are too. So what is it that, you wanted to discuss with us today?
Well, in your head right now, as you're going through this, the thing that matters most is the process of the client experience for your client. I'm trying to, at the same time, introduce you to how do you turn this into a marketing system to leverage you so that when at the end you're not just satisfied with keeping your existing clients, but you've actually picked up some new clients.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, wow, this thing really works from a prospecting point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part that I have to get you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you're up to your ears in alligators. You're like, I don't have time to prospect. But in truth, if you can try it out on some centers of influence or some prospects, you're going to become even more enthusiastic because it's a great differentiator. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we want to – yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Rob. Really quick, we have a prospect that we just spoke to yesterday that's coming in about 2 weeks. Should we go ahead and start the process of giving her the folder, everything as though we're starting from Supernova at that moment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I want you to walk us through this. We really have another one that we want to deal with too.
Yeah.
But with this, now we talked to her yesterday, and we want to, and she's coming in 2 weeks. What should we be doing between now and 2 weeks from now?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, you've gotten a complete pro. How did you get the client?
She was a referral. And it's amazing. She's a referral, perfect example of, she doesn't know what she has. She meets with her advisor once a year because he does her taxes. Everything is kind of spread out all over the place. And she has no idea, if she's made money, if she's lost money. She just has no idea.
So he's a CPA
you got it.
Doing some investments on the side.
That's it.
That's a good center of influence to send you business. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And who else he does business with and steal all his clients?
I know. Yeah.
You want to say, hey.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow. Does she meet your minimums and she's...
Yes, she does. She does.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So who referred her to you?
Existing client.
Okay. And she's a friend of his or just...
Yes, she is.
Okay. And she was...
And they work together. And they work together.
Okay.
Or used to work together.
And he was... Right, so he's raving about how great you are, and she's complaining about how bad her guy is. Okay.
Yeah, but she's going to talk to him. She wanted to talk to him one more time before she leaves.
Yeah, well, that's a bad idea. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the assumptive close. All right.
Okay.
And we're going to. It's a very caring, very nurturing experience, but it's going to be one of We're proceeding as if you've said yes. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to have everything built out ahead of time. We're going to begin the process of profiling her to get her financial plan done. We're going to give her her folder. We're going to explain her role in the relationship, that she isn't just there to nod her head, that she is to learn, and we're going to call her every month. We're going to have 4 reviews, 2 of them are in person. We're going to teach her everything that she needs to know about investing, and she's going to be a part of the team. She is the CEO, and you're the CFO, and she needs to be qualified. So it isn't just you've got the ball now and I don't want to know anything. That's mm-hmm. not a relationship. That's not what you want. And that's not what she really wants. And you're not going to do it all at once. You're going to just gradually do it over time. But first of all, we got to get a financial plan done.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the financial plan will come the initiatives that we're going to take in order to have her reach all her goals and never worry and take and give her peace of mind, and because we're talking monthly, there's never a gap between, you know, so her anxiety builds up. So constantly being reinforced as to why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have an agenda for every call and then an executive summary, so you'll know exactly what we agreed to and why. How does that sound? She'd be like, oh, my God, this is exactly what I've always wanted. And so
do we need to do an executive summary from the call that we had yesterday?
Sure, absolutely. Oh yeah, okay. That's a great idea. Okay, mm-hmm. Leave out the part that she's going to meet with her CPA one more time, though.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's nothing but trouble, because then he's alerted, and now he's going to all of a sudden. What you can do, there's a great term called immunization, all right? And when mm-hmm. she says, well, I'm going to meet with him one more time, what you tell her is exactly what's going to happen. And you say, mm-hmm. well, do you know what's going to happen? And she goes, no, what? Well, when you meet with him and tell him that he is going, that you're now, you know, that she's considering moving the account,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden he's going to wake up. And he's going to start promising her everything. He's going to promise you that he's going to talk to you once a month and that he's going to give you performance reporting. And he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And my question is, if he was going to do it then, why hasn't he done it now?
Mm-hmm. I should have said that yesterday.
Yeah,
I
think it was.
He's a CPA, and he's doing more than just taxes.
That happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Okay.
That's not called a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can find an excuse to give her a call.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was talking about at this point.
Mm-hmm. I would find an excuse to give her a call, and then explain what's going to happen at the meeting with her CPA.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it happens, she's going to sit back and go, you know what?
He said this was going to happen.
Gerald told me that this is exactly what you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You're fired, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, when does the mini folder start? Mini folder?
As soon as the relationship starts, or even when they're a prospect, I give it to them.
That's now.
Yeah.
That's right. So you give it to her now and say, this is what the experience is going to be like. Here's your folder. Here's where you take notes. Here's where the agenda goes. Here's where the executive summary goes.
Mm-hmm.
This is all the information about our team. This is the schedule of when we're going to call.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh, my God, you guys are so organized. This is so wonderful. Do you do this for all your clients? Yes, how do you do it? How do you have time? My guy has no time. Well, that's because he's a CPA. Okay?
Yeah.
He thinks that this is a part-time job. We consider it a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would you like to have a part-time doctor? Would you like to have a part-time surgeon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I haven't been a salesman for 45 years without having a few answers.
Mm-hmm. I'd say you're pretty good, Ryan. You're pretty good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, we have another client who we haven't talked to in a while. And we mentioned her, I think I mentioned her last week, and we were to talk about how to move forward. She, you know, she has, you know, busy schedule recruiting and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, do you remember us talking about that?
Yep. She's the one that's going to love this, and you've got to remember that. She's going to love this because guess what? To meet with her or talk to her, you got to be on her calendar. I had a guy that said, you know, I went to this CEO and I didn't think he'd like Supernova, and I mentioned to him what I was going to do and 1242 and all the rest. He took out his day planner or took out his calendar and he said, okay, when do you want to meet? Boom. And from then on, he was available for every call. You just get on their schedule. That's all. Just get on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to meet with her 12 times, okay? Because she's going to be... She's going to be somewhere. But you know what you're going to meet? You're going to talk to her 8 times a year or 6 times a year versus twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, right. So it's going to be better. It's going to be a lot better than what it was, and you're going to be organized around it. And so is she. All right? So everybody's going to do better. And have you done a financial plan for her?
No.
All right, you got to get her to
do it. We haven't done anything.
You got to get her to do a financial plan, okay?
Right.
Now, I wouldn't hold up the relationship or anything based on it, but she needs one because she's moving fast and she's successful.
Yep. Okay.
All right. So... look, we're covering the most important things, and we will get to the other things. The mini-me folder was on the agenda today. We talked about that. Scheduling centers of influence meetings and clients inside niches. I'd love you to do it. It's not the most critical thing you have to do. Getting those clients reassigned is the most critical thing. Begin to build the 24-month calendar. That's important. I've had people actually have real success with that right from this point on. So I want you to have success, and I don't want to get hung up on some of the operations. So while everybody is building folders and doing other things, Daryl, you can be meeting with centers of influence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else can be building the 24-month calendar. So these are roles and responsibilities based on the 5-star model. So start to implement that so one person isn't doing everything, right? Everybody has their job. Everybody can be doing, well, one person, the director of implementation can be building the 24-month calendar while the director of marketing is initiating center of influence meetings. And while the brand manager is building the mini-me folders. So everybody is swimming down the pool in their own lane. So just make sure that everybody has their roles and responsibilities and they're doing the part so that everybody gets down the pool at the same time.
I agree.
But Rob, when we look at the educational and marketing topics, is that... Or will those be unique to the team, or are those just standards in the market itself?
You can use the list right off of my, the one I made up on, the second page of chapter 6, and you can just borrow it, all right? Or you can make up one for yourself. For now, I'd probably just borrow mine. And then, stick with that. And then, when you get some time, redo it based on what you think your personal calendar is more appropriate. But otherwise, I just stick with what I've got and make it easier on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of like looking at the, kind of like the folders. Just, you know, if you want to reinvent the folders, great. But if not, we've worked for, you know, 10 years to get the folder thing right, so you might as well use what we got.
Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking, and y'all can help me out. You can shoot it down however you want to do it. But I was just thinking about all of the calls that we have to make to let clients know that we are reassigning them, and which is, I don't know, how many people are we talking about, a couple hundred?
Not 150?
Like,
no, 100-ish.
80,
between 80 comes to
100. 80
to
100? Right.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about doing that, you know, calling them, which may take longer than 10, 15 minutes because of a lot of the relationships, along with me meeting with centers of influence. I mean, where are the priorities? What's the priority right now?
Well, when I was firing people, which was unfortunate and I would hate doing it, people did it over lunch, and I was thought, oh my God, who wants to spend an hour firing somebody?
Or getting fired. Check, please.
I was always curious, do you wait for dessert or what? You know, talk about small talk and families. And then
this has been great. This has been a great meal. You out. Yeah.
My point is, you know, these do not have to be long conversations.
But a little bit more diplomatic than Trump, right?
You're not Trump's son-in-law, are you? I just want to be sure before you say anything.
Bob, I hope y'all hesitate.
Your bill just went up.
There'll be a supplemental requisition here.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, you know, diplomatic but short. Okay?
All right.
Diplomatic but short. And know you're doing the right thing and knowing the person is going to get a good home. And be excited about it, right. And be confident that the person they're assigning him to is going to do well. And as I say, if he doesn't and you're not satisfied, I'll find somebody that will. Remember, law firms do this all the time. All the time.
Yeah, that's why people hate lawyers.
Now, actually, you know, seriously, I was assigned to a junior lawyer, and the guy's fabulous. He calls me back, and he gets stuff done for me. My senior partner never called me back. Things took too long. He always was busy. This guy's great. You know, this guy's great. So I'm happy. I'm happier. And when I was with my buddy who was the senior partner, he's just too busy. And I don't need that much, you know? And that's the way your clients are. They don't need that much. They've got a $250,000 rollover. It ain't going anywhere. No, they're just taking distributions. Just want to know it's still there. There isn't. You're a surgeon, okay? They need a general practitioner that's going to take care of them and give them general service. You're special. Mm-hmm. You're for the high net worth client that's got complicated situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you gotta believe that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great call as usual. You're a lot of fun. I'll talk to you.
All right.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye bye.